were still quite using it.
It's gone now, I presume.
Yeah, and I have some kind of orders there.
I think your quarters are a little closer, Carolyn. Coughing last night and didn't stop. So.
That'll tear you up.
My body is not well. Romans 8. We're going to spend one more day on this 12 and 13.
That was John.
Verse 12 is, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, what are the deeds of the flesh? Let's go look at Colossians 3. Verse 1, if then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Do you have a stomach problems? All right. And here's verse 5 defines what these works of the flesh are. Therefore, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, each one of those things, that just defines what flesh does. It isn't some special activity of flesh or something that you consider immoral about flesh. It's what flesh does. Covetousness is obviously to want to have the situation you're in be different or want more than you have. Evil concupiscence just means a craving for, I mean, it's not just wanting it, you crave it. And fornication is not just the act of fornication, but it's going anywhere other than God for your bread, your wine, and your oil, for the basic needs. And again, we live in this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. So the test is, are you in the world, but of the world? If what you're doing is utilizing the the flesh and then justifying it because that's your job, then you got a problem. You'll just always be lukewarm. You'll live in two worlds. You'll never know what you're going to do next. Everything, and it won't work because the flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit and the spirit's trying to suppress down the flesh, so you can't do the things that you would. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Gary?
Yeah.
You cannot be in the kingdom of God and use the tools of the flesh for your anything. Well, then what do? Well, you change your whole way of looking at life. If you have a company like you do, then you see it as meeting need. And the reward of that meeting need is up to that, is up to God, not up to the fruit of your efforts. Is that clear? You never depart. You never enter into this anxious, nervous. It's foreign. And if you're working for Trinity, for instance, and something is going on that's not the way you think it should be, what do?
I usually yell at Pete.
How about, Father, forgive me? If somebody loses, somebody throws away a pot that you think is vital for your work, then you say, and you get upset about it, then you say, Father, forgive me. Nothing can interrupt the fellowship. Except you. If you see the elders aren't doing what you think they should, what do? You, no. You say, Father, forgive me, and move on. Otherwise, you're entering into one of these arenas, the works of the flesh. What?
Well, I don't know, entering in sounds funny. You're giving life to or swimming in or something. You're
entering into it because you've left the mercy seat and returned to time and space. You've returned to the world. You've entered into the world instead of into Him.
It's kind of a moment of transaction when that decision is made.
I doubt very seriously it's of a decision. Nobody would be stupid enough to make a decision to leave the kingdom of God. The only time you would leave the kingdom of God is when you think the kingdom of God is something other than what you're experiencing, i.e. Judas. The reason Judas betrayed Christ was because it wasn't what he thought was supposed to be Messiah. The reason you betray Christ is because the Messiah and the kingdom of Messiah doesn't look like you think it should. It goes on and on and on, but it's always simple. You don't think it should look like this. You don't think there should be people like this in the kingdom. You don't think that because something is upsetting you. Because it isn't the way you think it should be. Your head is going yes, yes, but your mind is going no, no.
No, I'm thinking about doctrine, like around here, we might think, well, they don't have the doctrine quite tuned in or something. Therefore, something's not right with that person. I have to withhold myself or some such.
The only thing about doctrine you have to concern yourself with is do you expect James to follow the doctrine? Well, how far has that gotten you? Did you expect?
I'm talking about myself. Don't get me wrong here.
Yeah, right.
No,
it's people are either. If you're a believer, you're either. You're in the world still, waiting for something to happen. You're in the wilderness, not even knowing the law yet. You're at the foot of the Mount Sinai, and you're seeing the law, and you're going, oh, my God. Or you're in the promised land, but you haven't yet entered the mercy seat. And those stages are called young you know, born darling infant, you know, teenager, young adult, and father. And so it's not, you don't, you exhort one another daily to the father position, but you don't exhort James to reproduce. Now, if you can't see, if you don't understand who is a child and who is, then you've got another issue going on. You're not concerned with them. You're concerned with your state.
I'm still back when we turned the page, we came to this page, and when we read verse 3, "For you are dead." That really just hit me. I mean, he's actually saying it right there. It's not that little one that you talk about all the time where I always think, that isn't really what it means. If one died for all, then we're all dead. You know,
what do you think it means?
No, let me finish. You kind of say, then we're all dead. You know, it's kind of like, oh, he's kind of playing with that one. I hope that's what it means, but that's not really all that clear. But this one, this is a simple declarative sentence. There's no shadow of turning. It's simple. It says it right there. That's all I need to know. Everything else, I'm listening to you guys talking, and it's just dabba 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 dabba. I don't need any of those thousands of words. That's
it.
That's what I need right there. Dead. Dead means
dead.
Nothing to worry about. Nothing to do. Nothing to be frightened about. Nothing to try and get. Just
right.
Dead. If something comes to me, great. If not, great.
There can't be covetousness. There can't be evil concupiscence. There can't be fornication.
Not if you're dead.
Because you're dead.
There's a right way to be dead.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
It's even simpler because it's not that many words. Even it's if you die. It's already happened. It's over.
So what I want to know is, for now this 35 years, when I said, if one died for all, then we're all dead, and you thought I was doing what?
Oh, I think to be honest, I think that I have been hoping you're right and thinking, this is Ollie read the scriptures real carefully and did translations, and he came up with this idea that this is what it's about. And I don't know why all the theologians in the world don't agree, because they're reading the same things. I hope this is true. I think this is true. My experience kind of says this is true. But that, I don't know how. I don't know how Reinhold Niebuhr and all these guys can skip that sentence. I mean, maybe they know it, but I don't hear anybody else saying it. But that says it.
How about you are buried in baptism? How does that one go? That one doesn't work?
No, because I thought it was some kind of colorful way of saying something.
Anybody else have any of these little kind of things?
It's only half the sentence, though. That's not the full sentence. Because your life is hid with Christ.
But who's your life?
Him. Your life hid with him.
Again, let's go Galatians 2.
But the idea that it's hidden, that's...
It's not hidden.
See, H-I-D, hid. What do you mean it's not?
It's hid, not as hidden from view, but hid as he's in there as your own. He is your total protection. Let's look at, see what Paul said about this. Can we do that?
Sure.
Galatians 2. Let's start in verse 16. Every one of you know by now that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You know it because, at least you don't know it about all men, but you know it for sure about you. Because you can never follow the law. Because your mind always betrays you. If not some other part of your body. Always betrays, right? So, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So, of Jesus Christ, faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself the transgressor. Now the things that you're speaking of here, the things that you destroyed, are all the stuff that you finally saw were fruitless. But now your intellect was fruitless, your ability to accomplish an end was fruitless, but you found yourself that you, my God, I've screwed up here. I've returned to self. I've done something that you internally, and much less anybody else, but you internally think, oh my God, this is wrong. Then you're tempted. Every one of us are tempted. If we see that we've done something wrong, we're tempted to say, well, I'll fix it because I know now that I can do it better, and so I'm gonna do it this way again. I'm gonna do it by that which way which I thought was destroyed, but I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna go back to the only thing I can think of right now. I'm going back to the refrigerator because this time that sour milk is gonna be sweet. I've done the same thing over and over and it's never produced anything of value, but this next time it's gonna work. If I can just pump more energy into it. So, for if I build again the things which I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. But something's going on. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. This is an impossible construct. You can't know this until you know Jesus Christ is in you. And you can only know that by having it wrought in you by him. Because, you know, everything else doesn't work. And until that transpires, until it's proven to you that Jesus Christ is in you, then you've got to go back and you've got to rebuild the things that you've destroyed. You've got to learn how to do it better this next time. Does that communicate? So my life is hid with Christ in God. It's hid, but not hid from you. You are dead. I am dead, and my life is hid from Christ in God. I mean, my life is hid in Christ. You understand? Don't play with words. It's so simple. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who is the me? I'm speaking then as the bride, who loved me, not as me individual holy self. Yeah, I mean, be careful for nothing. Huh. Do you understand what that means?
That's the parable of the sower. You receive it gratefully, and then at some point you're going like, this is costing me money, or this is costing me embarrassment.
Man.
Or this is, you know, something's
losing me friends.
So I
people get mad at me, whatever.
I need to get, you know, I need to really get this right, not the thing that's Jesus was saying here. There's
got to
be something else.
A little bit. And what's the real test? What the only test then is waiting in Him, no matter what it looks like. And I know a lot about that waiting. Now, can you wait in Him? Or you have to lean on your own number of understanding about something today?
I think the test and the waiting, it's waiting in the rest. It's not waiting in a state of anxiety and turmoil.
Well, it's waiting. I mean, if you're in a state of anxiety, it's still waiting. Yeah. Only thing you have to do is confess that the anxiety, you can't... Do you understand that? I mean, all of it's got to wait. Wait isn't optional. The only thing optional is whether you're going to wait in peace.
That's what I just said. You wait in rest, or you wait in turmoil, which is not rest. That's something to be repented of. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Being a fallen creature, what I want is I want Him to move in me. I want Him to take over. I want Him to move my arm. You know, oh, look at that, my arm moved. I didn't do it. Must be Jesus in me doing it.
Don't do that too quickly.
That one's okay. I want to be, and I'm sitting here realizing what I want is I want to be possessed. I mean, that's the way Satan and demons work. That's not the way the Father and the Son work.
Amen.
But that's what I want. I want that. I want Him to overrule me and take over, and He's just not going to do that. That would be like a proof. You know?
Yeah, and I hear that coming full circle back. You're talking about meeting need. We live not for self, but we live outward. We see other people, and we're meeting their needs all the time, whatever pops up.
Everyone in our society especially thinks of themselves in a way as an alone, independent, successful self. And then we go through all the crap and then you find out, wait a minute, I'm not very successful. But it's not my fault. You know, something else happened. Something did this. There's got to come a time when you are crucified unto the world, and then the world is crucified unto you. You are crucified unto the world is crucified unto you. Do you have to take that?
No, I'm waiting until it cycles so I can shut it off.
Oh. One of the things that I've noticed over all these years being around a lot of different people is everybody wants somebody to tell them what to do at some point. And this just confirms what Harry said. Most of the time, you don't want anybody to tell you what to do. But you get in a pickle. Yep. You get in hot water. You're in trouble. And you want somebody to tell you what to do. Now, that is in essence where we are. As Harry said, we're wishing we were possessed so that we could, you know. And the reason is because at the core, because of the fall, we want someone to blame if it doesn't go right. Do you understand that? You may not blame them externally, but you blame them in your head. Now, just because you've made yourself a target this morning, for years and years and years, you've blamed any problems in your marriage on Judy because she wasn't obedient. And then, for years and years and years, you blame your problems on me. And maybe still are, for all I know. But that's good. I'm thankful for that. But at some point, we've got to see that we are the sin. You notice in our society how much entitlement is becoming prevalent. I mean, everybody has a sense of entitlement. Even in tribal societies, they have a sense of entitlement. Well, that's the idea that we are entitled to nothing is revolutionary. It can only be true in a Christian community. But when you still walk in entitlement in a Christian community, acting like you're not feeling a sense of entitlement, then that's where the real problem starts. Because that hypocrisy will cause you never, you can't be exalted. Nothing can happen. Because you're not letting anybody know what's going on.
Well, you're blowing off your last chance. Really, I mean, it's like you know, placed in an environment like that, it's like the last stop before hell, and there you are blowing it off.
That's a Pharisee. I mean, that's walking around expecting to be treated a certain way because of something that's not really going on. He's portraying himself as if it's going on. So it's like this layer that's within a layer within
dancing
a layer.
On the warhead just before it goes.
And then he gets mad.
Well, back to this one single scripture in Colossians 3. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk, some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. No one can ever again get by with telling you who told you were naked. Who told you needed something?
I heard you say something in there. I can't remember exactly. It's like you can't say, well, I'm working on anger and I'll get to the next one after I get anger under control. You put off the whole man, the whole thing, you know, divide it up.
No, to divide it up means you'll always be deceived,
right?
Because it'll...
You know, self-improvement.
So divide forever.
Yeah.
I was throwing away a bunch of National Geographics and things, trying to get some shelf space. And since I have a lot of time now, I'm doing it now.
Really?
Santa's gone. You don't
really
know that. But I sat around and I actually looked through each one, read through them out, and I ran across the one, like from the 1940s, where the bomb went off at the Trinity bomb site, you know, has significance for this whole group. And I don't remember ever seeing this picture before. It's a black and white picture, but you know, it just shows how it turned all the sand into glass. You know, and this sort of a star-shaped weird thing. You know, it's like even if there's nothing to blow up, it transformed anything that it touched. And you know, I was thinking that's just exactly what happens with us. It vaporizes everything and transforms at the same time.
I'm going to just read this next part. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you also, do ye. And above all things, put on charity, or which is the bond of perfectness or perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God and the Father for him. It's hard to study individual things because, you know, it's a whole new thing. And so if you concentrate on the individual stuff, then you can't see the forest for the trees. And so put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill any aspect of the flesh. Amen? Anybody else have anything? Take a big guy. What do you need?
Well, we need some hands for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes to take the tent down.
What time?